Lecture topic, purification of the roo.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا ذكر هازم اللذات الموت أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama-i kiram, brothers and elders. All of us have taken out some time to be here in the house of Allah Ta'ala. This time that has been spared, this time that we have given to the house of Allah Ta'ala, given to some muzakara of deen, is actually a part of our life. Hassan Basri rahimahullah, people used to ask him that what is the reason that you are so cautious about every moment? You don't allow a single moment to get wasted. Obviously, the kind of things that he was engaged in was all in getting closer to Allah Ta'ala, in aspects that would earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So how come you take so much of care for every moment? You don't allow a single moment to just get wasted and whiled away. He said, because every day that passes, one part of me has gone. Each day, one part of me has gone. And one day there'll be nothing left of me in dunya. I'll be gone. So that's the reality of everyone's life. That's the reality of our life. That as every moment goes, a part of us is gone, which will never come back. Meaning that time Allah blessed us with in dunya is fixed. Every breath we are taking, we have decreased something. And finally, that moment will come, that when that last breath will be taken in this dunya, when that last day would have come, when that last hour would have been passed, when that last minute would have gone by, and that last second, and we will be gone. That day will come, that moment will come. Nobody has any doubt about it. The issue is that after that moment has finally arrived, then what? Then what will happen depends on how we spend this time that we have now at hand. This life Allah has blessed us with, how this has been spent will determine how or what happens thereafter. Person lived with iman, with amal saliha, then the eternal bliss starts. And the person lived a carefree life, we'll see, worry about it later, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. All the things that shaitan puts waswasa in the heart and mind to cause us to just procrastinate, leave it for another time. Ramzan will come. Ramzan came and went away. Well, now Zulhijjah is coming. Then we'll sort things out. And in that way, one day goes, and one week goes, and a month goes, and years go by. And then suddenly life is gone. So what is the crucial thing is that this life Allah has given us, this is our capital. This is what has to be use correctly to take us safely to the akhirat. On the one side, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this physical self, this body, which is such a marvelous creation of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has exhorted us to ponder over this. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In your very physical selves, don't you think, don't you ponder, don't you look deeply, don't you reflect, that what Qudrat Allah has manifested in this creation of insan. This is each limb, whether it is the tongue, whether it is the eyes, the ears, every joint, each joint is beyond what we can imagine. Therefore, in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that there are 360 joints in this insan. And each joint, daily, there should be shukr for it. So now, sadaqah is to be given upon each joint. So somebody asked, but everybody can't afford, because sadaqah was expected to be some monetary form of sadaqah. And how can every person, because some people couldn't even afford just the daily bare necessities. Said, kullu tasbihatin sadaqatun. Every tasbih a person decides is sadaqah. So he has fulfilled the sadaqah that is required for one joint. And every tahmid and every tahleel and amar bil ma'roof and nahyan al munkar, every good deed, in other words. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that two rakats of duha, it compensates for the shukr of every joint. But now the lesson we have, that appreciate this ni'mat Allah has given us also. That this too deserves shukr. And what shukr, we can't make one fraction of the shukr that is required of us. So this body also is Allah Ta'ala's very great ni'mat. But this body is nothing without the ruh in it. All the things about this body that a person will marvel at his strength, and somebody will marvel at the beauty Allah bless them with, and they'll keep standing and looking in front of a mirror and grooming themselves, like as if life will never finish off. And somebody will marvel at their intelligence, whereas Allah's gift, but they'll start attributing it to themselves. I, me, my thinking, I applied my mind, and this was the creation of my genius. All kinds of statements that we make, forgetting Allah Ta'ala. Forgetting that all this is Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat and bounty, and as it is Allah's gift and ni'mat, Allah is fully in control and has full qudrat to take it away at one moment also. So this, all this marvelous creation of Allah Ta'ala that is manifested in this insan, Allah has asked us to reflect on it. But all this is nothing without that ruh in it. When the ruh comes out, then all the arrangements will be made to hastily bury this body. And that is what we have been taught in the Hadith Sharif, that when the janaza is ready, then the burial should not be delayed. Now it is the only thing to do is to quickly bury the person. Why? Because the ruh has left. In that moment, after the ruh has left, everything still looks the same. Those eyes still look like they are open, but they can't see anything anymore. The tongue can't utter a single word, can't take the opportunity of reciting one tasbih. Those ears can hear nothing. That heart can't tick anymore. No limb can move. Person cannot do any single thing. Whereas one moment before, everything was functioning. And now suddenly, the person lost his name also. They speak about him as the mayyit, as the janaza. Don't even refer to him by his name anymore. That so-and-so is lying there. Say, no, the janaza is there. It is still him, his name, but he's no more there. He's gone. The ruh left. So now this body Allah blessed us with, we have to take care of this amanat also. This too has to be cared for. It has to be fed. The body gets sick as well. When the person gets sick, when he's healthy, then that healthy body, there's a lot that can be done. The person can walk, he can run, he's very energetic, he can work the whole day, he can sit around and very comfortably apply his mind and think about what he needs to do and how he needs to work out things and plan the whole day and plan big 10-year plans and whatever else. All this is applying his mind and whatever else he's doing. So now there's a healthy body, but then the body gets sick. The body gets sick now, he's got no energy to do anything. He's got big intentions, but he can't even leave his bed. He wants to walk, he can't walk. He needs two people's help sometimes to walk. The body gets sick sometimes, the eyes get affected. He can't see anything properly. He's seeing everything blurred. Sometimes getting double vision. He can't seem to focus properly what's going on. The body gets ill, the ears get affected. Somebody's talking next to him, he can't hear him. And so many things happen to this insan. So now when the body gets slightly ill also, let alone such major illnesses, immediately the person is feeling uneasy. And immediately he is at least thinking about, oh, I should be doing something. Not feeling well. He'll be saying it to somebody also. I'm just feeling very uncomfortable today. Not feeling too good. He's talking about his unease. He's concerned about his health. I'm not feeling well and I need to take a small rest to just maybe recover a little bit. Or please some bring the tablet that is there. And then if that is not good enough, and the time has passed, 1-2 days have passed, now he's making an appointment to go see the doctor. And then if the doctor also can't seem to get past what the issue is and can't diagnose, because this is looking a bit complicated, he says, no, now you need a specialist. And then he's going for a full checkup and going through scans and whatever else. And huge sums of money are being spent for what? For the health of the body, which is Allah's ni'mat, Allah's amanat. Look after it. And if it gets ill, he has to take care of it. But nobody has to sit and give the person any long bayan that, look, you are not well, so you should be doing A, B, C, D. He's also already gone to X, Y, Z before anybody can even talk to him about the A, B, C, D. And that's part of insan. It's a human nature that he's concerned about his health. But this body is nothing without the ruh. And that ruh also, that too has its condition of health and condition of sickness. The ruh also gets ill. When the body got ill, then he had no energy. Couldn't go to work. Had to take off a couple of days. And he lost his salary sometime maybe because all his sick leave got used up. Whatever other consequences. Why? Just got no energy. He can't move. When the ruh gets sick, there's no spiritual energy. Now that person who could walk to the shop and go, could run, do his few kilometers of jogging that he does every day, but he won't be able to take a few steps to his car and drive to the masjid. Why? Because the spiritual energy that is required for the masjid is missing. The physical energy, he can jog a few kilometers also. But the spiritual energy, that masjid might be a few doors away from him. But it will be very difficult. That 5 kilometers jog was very easy. But that 500 meters or 50 steps will become very difficult. He won't be able to make it. He's practicing for the marathon. He was able to wake up long before at tahajjud time. So now, futile thing like that, just to run from point to point. And then what? But for that, he's ready to practice for months on end, waking up tahajjud time, in the cold winter morning too. But he's not making tahajjud, they're not making fajr also. Why? Because the spiritual energy to come to the masjid is not there. Because the ruh is ill. Like that ill person can't go to work, person whose ruh is ill can't come to the masjid. Like that person who got sick, and now it affected his sight, and he started seeing double, or he's seeing blurred everything. When the ruh gets sick, and it affects the sight, now the person starts seeing all the wrong things. That sight and that Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat that Allah blessed him with, the most advanced camera cannot compare one fraction to the eyes Allah gave each insan. One fraction. They'll carry on advancing it, but it won't reach one fraction of this qudrat that Allah has manifested in this little socket and inside this eye. But now when the ruh gets sick, so when the body got sick, he couldn't even see properly. When the ruh gets sick, he starts seeing all the wrong things. Then he can't, like the, he's trying to see, he can't see clearly when he's physically he's got some problem. He's trying to hold back sometimes himself. Why? Because, not because of Allah's fear. Because his wife will catch up with him just now. But that too doesn't stop him. He gets so deep into that vice, because the ruh is sick. I got even more sick. Then all he can do is threaten her. You tell anybody, I'll divorce you. Then he uses that as a weapon, talaq as a weapon. How disgusting it becomes. That now she must know that this is how he's carrying on. But now because she doesn't know what to do and where to go and how to then fend for herself and she's got children and whatever else. So now she must bear this because now this is being used as a weapon against her. But now how can all this just become like part of life? Because the ruh is so sick. Person sometimes becomes physically so sick, he is totally oblivious of what's going on around him. He is in a deep slumber. Somebody has to force him to wake up to have maybe to eat and to perform his salah, whatever. Otherwise, he's not even aware of what's going on. Why? Because he's become so physically ill. Allah Ta'ala save us from all this. When a person becomes so physically, spiritually sick, his ruh becomes so sick, he becomes oblivious of what's going on around him. Who's crying and who's dying and who's suffering as a result of him and what's going on and what azab is being drawn down due to the vices that he's getting involved in. Like that person physically so ill, he doesn't know who came and who went. Sometimes they say so-and-so came to visit you, he doesn't know anything. Oh, well, did you have eaten? He says, I don't even know I ate anything. He doesn't know what's going on. That person in that spiritual illness sees everything, but he can't see it. He sees everything collapsing around him, falling, everything is going haywire. He doesn't have any idea what's going on. Why? Because the ruh is sick. So now when the person got physically sick, then he himself became immediately concerned. He is telling somebody, I'm feeling uncomfortable, something's not right, I'm not feeling well, bring the tablet or arrange this appointment for me, whatever other things need to be done. But when the ruh gets sick, then we fail to recognize that this too is an illness and this also requires treatment. It requires treatment so that this we get past this illness and we come back onto the track. That ruh becomes healthy, that energy comes in. When that energy comes in, then it spurs a person on. Then deen, everything about deen is very easy. It has to be very easy because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared it such, ad-deenu yusrun. Deen is easy. Somebody say not easy. No, not easy. I'm not well. Deen is very easy. To walk 50 steps to the masjid, what's difficult about that? But if I'm not well, I can't walk 5 steps. So not that deen is not easy. I'm not well. So because I'm not well, I can't do what is so easy. Fajr is very easy. Forget Fajr is very easy. The true servants of Allah Ta'ala, they find tahajjud very easy also. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq as well. How it became easy for them? The energy of the ruh. So the energy of the ruh becomes very, that energetic ruh now makes it very easy to wake up at the time of tahajjud. So Fajr, obviously the person will be there without any difficulty. So now that ruh is what now drives the person. We look in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, the pious predecessors. What drove them to do that which we can't imagine? And they needed to be given an advice once. It was done for life. How this happened? One time and done for life. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates one hadith sharif that she heard from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That man salla ithnatay asharata rak'atan fi yawmin wa laylatin buniya lahu bihinna baytun fil jannah. The one who makes 12 rak'ats, referring to what we describe as the sunnate mu'akkada of the day. So 12 rak'ats are the sunnat mu'akkada. The 2 rak'ats of Fajr, sunnat of Fajr. The 4 rak'ats before Zuhr, the 2 after Zuhr. And then the 2 rak'ats after Maghrib and 2 after Isha. This is the sunnat mu'akkada. It amounts to 12. So a very special virtue for this. That the one who performs these 12 rak'ats daily, then Allah Ta'ala will build a palace for him, a very special palace for him in Jannah. So now she heard this from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now she is relating the hadith. When she relates the hadith, now years later also, long after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this dunya, and she's relating the hadith, even then she would say, مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْدُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the day I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this, that day and today, years later, I haven't missed it once. She related this hadith to her brother, Ambasa bin Abi Sufyan. Whenever he would relate this hadith to his students, he would say to them, Acha, this was from Umme Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. His sister Umme Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now when he would relate it, he would say, مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْزُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ أُمِّ حَبِيبَةَ رضي الله عنها. From the day I heard Ummi Habiba radiallahu anha mention this hadith, from that day to this day, I haven't missed it once. Then his student, Amr ibn Aus, whenever he related this hadith to his students, years went past. And he said, مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ أَمْبَسَ. The day I heard Ambasa say this for the first time, I heard this hadith from him. From that day to this day, years have passed, I haven't missed one day where I didn't fulfill these 12 rakats. And then the narrator that narrates from him, Nu'man bin Salim, he says, مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ عَمْرُ. The day I heard this from Amr ibn Aus, years have passed now, I haven't missed it once. One time they heard it and years went by and they didn't miss it once. Now how that happened? What made that possible? Now if we think about ourselves, we're hearing it for years sometime. And sometime what we heard for years, we didn't do once also. Sometimes we did it once in a while. But what's the difference? The difference is the health or lack of it of the ruh. What degree of health, healthy condition is the ruh in? Allah forbid it's in the opposite condition, lack of that ruh, ruh's health. But now if that ruh is not so healthy that it can drive a person, it can move a person out of his bed at every salah time without any difficulty, it can move him out of his whatever occupation and so on in good time to be in the masjid before time, to perform all salah with jama'ah. If that ruh is not so healthy enough to hold his gaze back from haram, from looking at things Allah has forbidden, if that ruh is not healthy enough to stop him from things that are wasting and wasting away his life, parts of him, shaitan, if shaitan can't get a person caught up in haram, if he is now somehow, Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, he's not getting caught up in the trap of haram, then shaitan will put him into layani. So then he'll sit 4-5 hours scream time, say, I didn't do anything haram, and he's very happy. But he lost out 4-5 hours of his life. Now many a person says his screen time is 4.5 hours, 5 hours. By how much you sleep in the day? Say about 7 to 8 hours. Out of that 8 hours, now you got left with 16 hours. And from that 16 hours, if you your screen time is only 4 hours through, then quarter of your life is gone in there. So quarter of your wakeful life went away in the screen. And then that impacts on the other rest of the 12 hours too. Because now the same thing will be, now you can't read Quran Sharif properly. Because that's what's now, that blurs everything. Reading Quran Sharif, your mind is in the same thing. And then that too is not without its slip-ups. In that 4 hours, no, I didn't do anything haram. But some things here and there go off. Many people will then admit, no, but it sometimes slips here and there. But then, so now what is going on with the ruh then? What impact is happening on that ruh? And where that energy will be there to now be that zeal to move forward, to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. This was the way of the Sahaba Ikram. One advice, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, the very well-known riwayat, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to request a helper, somebody to help with the chores, very difficult situation that he had to undertake. And the lengthy riwayat which we have heard many times, eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to their house that night to find out what you had come for. Ali radiallahu anhu explains this whole situation. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, should I give you all something better than a khadim? Better than a helper? Something that will be far greater? He said, please. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the tasbihat. They came to ask for somebody to help with the physical chores. And to who is this being given? Who made the request? The Queen of Jannah. And no father can have one fraction of the love that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for his daughter. But he knew what is best for her. And what he offered? He offered the tasbihat. He said, recite these tasbihat 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. When you come onto your bed, at the time of going to bed, then you come on your bed, recite this. And فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكِي مِنْ خَادِمٍ. And the commentators of hadith, they explain on this, that this was given on the request of a person, somebody to help, the barakat of this recitation will give a person the physical energy for the rest of the day to do what his tasks are. Because this was given on that occasion. Apart from the spiritual benefits that will come and the barakat that will come and all the good that will come as a result of this recitation, it will bring physical energy, strength. It will bring some that clarity in the mind to be able to focus on one's work, whatever tasks are to be done. So in any case now, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them this gift. And now years later, many, many years later, decades have gone past. And decades later, he is relating this hadith to his students. And then after relating it, he says, مَا تَرَكْتُهُ مُنْدُ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The day I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention this to us in our home there, that day to this day, I haven't missed it once. So somebody was sitting there, asked, وَلَا لَيْلَةَ السِّفِينَ. Not even the night of Siffin, that battle was taking place, you were the commander-in-chief. That day too, you didn't forget? He said, no, not even that day. Not even that day. With all whatever else, but that too, on that day also I didn't forget. Where this came from? The strength of the ruh. So now the strength of the ruh, when the strength of the ruh is there, then it drives a person to every good. Then it makes him hasten towards every good. Sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin 'arduha as-samawati wal ard fastabiqul khairat. So many ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala gives us that command to hasten towards good deeds. But if the person is healthy, he's fit, he can run full speed. If he's ill, he needs help to walk. So fastabiqul khairat requires spiritual energy to run, spiritual energy to hasten towards the good. Then he is ready to run, to hasten, to do that good, to do that which will take him closer to Allah Ta'ala, to submit entirely to Allah Ta'ala, without any hesitation. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the days of Qurbani already approaching us. We've heard the incident so many times, but the message, how much have we taken of that message to heart? He's a young boy, and as a young boy, he's being told that I've seen in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. And now he knows this is his father, is a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. His dream is not just any dream. His dream is wahi. So in other words, it's going to be done now. So what is his response? Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. My father, go ahead and do what you have been commanded to do. Not just you go ahead, but satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. I will fully cooperate and I will help you by being patient in this whole thing. I'm not going to try to run away or try to make it difficult for you or try to now cause any difficulty or whatever. I will become very cooperative in this. I will be very patient in it and you go ahead and fulfill what Allah has commanded you. Now, where did that come from? Now, obviously, this ruh was on another, as we say, everything nowadays on another level. Only we not getting on some level yet. So this ruh, subhanallah, what level of ruh this was, that this young boy, he is being told, you are going to be slaughtered. No ifs, no buts, no why, what wrong I did, why me? Allah's command, bismillah. Allah's command, no ifs and buts. What and where only. What I must do, when I must do it. What, when, where, that's it. So now this zeal of submission, like our Hazrat puts it in one couplet, Jaan de di maine unke naam par, ishq ne socha na kuch anjaam par. That I gave my life, meaning the person now who truly had this spiritual energy, he said, I gave my life on the name of Allah Ta'ala. And what made this possible? That when the demand came to give one's life, ishq ne socha, ishq, that ruh was in love with Allah Ta'ala. That love of Allah Ta'ala had permeated that ruh. So now, when that ruh was permeated with the love of Allah Ta'ala, ishq ne socha na kuch anjaam par. The love of Allah Ta'ala, when it comes in the heart, then the The outcome is not bothered. Was not bothered about that. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was that ashiq. And now when he's being told you are going to be thrown in the fire, Namrud's fire, whatever. Angels came to offer their help. Allah Ta'ala sent you? He said, no, Allah Ta'ala didn't send us. But we took Allah Ta'ala's permission. Amma ilayka fala. No, then I don't need your help. Allah knows my condition. So in the love of Allah Ta'ala, anything I'm ready for. Whatever Allah's command. So now the life, giving one's life for Allah Ta'ala becomes easy. Giving up one's sleep for Allah Ta'ala, how easy that will be. Giving up one's entertainment for Allah Ta'ala, how easy that will be. Giving up the ways of Yahud and Nasara to adopt the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how simple that will become. But what it requires? It requires an effort on the ruh. It requires that ruh to become healthy. And where does this ruh become healthy? Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu attaqullah. A healthy ruh is a ruh with taqwa. Ittaqullah. Repeatedly, the command in the Quran Sharif that has been given most is of taqwa. The ruh with taqwa is that healthy ruh. So ittaqullah. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu attaqullah. And how will this come? وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the righteous. Be with the people of taqwa. Be with those who have acquired this love of Allah Ta'ala. Be in their company. This will rub off onto you. How will this ruh get healthy? اُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah Ta'ala abundantly. Abundant dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. This abundant dhikr will strengthen this ruh. Person, abundant zikr. So there's two paths to the zikr, which in the words of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, musbat zikr and manfi zikr. I'll just give the example that the light that comes on, so there's two wires that have to be in place, the positive and the negative. Both are in place, then you see the light. It might be a big, huge floodlight, it'll light up the whole place. But it needs both wires. So the one wire is the positive wire. The positive wire is the fulfillment of all the dues. What Allah has commanded. That must be in place. That's the one wire of taqwa. And the negative wire is the refraining from all the don'ts. Whatever Allah has forbidden, to refrain from that. Both are in place, the light of taqwa comes on. And it lights a person's life up. It lights up his home. And that mahabbah is in that home. That happiness is there. That happiness is in his heart. That happiness is in that home. That happiness is in everything. And then even in the challenges of life also, his heart is with Allah Ta'ala. So he's not overwhelmed by anything. So this is the need that the person has to make an effort on that ruh. Develop that taqwa. The abundant zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And by being in the company of the righteous, with the zikr of Allah ta'ala, with dua, with turning to Allah ta'ala in great abundance. It's an effort. People who made the effort, Allah ta'ala opened the way for them. Liyahe humne darde dil, khoke bahare zindagi. One very pious personality, Mia Asghar Gondwi rahmatullahi alayhi, his couplet. So he is giving the message about how did these pious people get there. They just suddenly woke up one morning and miraculously everything happened. One, two situations happened like that too. But that's not the rule. The rule is, he says, liyahe humne darde dil, khoke bahare zindagi. We receive this darde dil, this love of Allah Ta'ala, this greatest ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala and the most sweetest of all pleasures. This love of Allah Ta'ala is termed as dard-e-dil, literally translated pain of the heart. There's no sweeter thing than this pain. It's called pain of the heart because his heart throbs in Allah's love. He says, but there's nothing sweeter than this. So he says, how did we get this? So the pious people, now he's talking on their behalf. How we got it? Khoke bahare zindagi. He says, we gave away all the glitter and glamour of dunya, all the attractions and distractions, all the things that are flashing on those screens. We sacrificed it. We didn't look at it. All those things that were taking us where not. We stayed away from it. It didn't just happen. There were a lot of tears of the heart shed also. Now a lot of blood of the heart shed. But when that blood of the heart was repeatedly shed by refraining from haram, and the person thought like somebody had poked a knife into his heart and it's now bleeding out of that mujahada, but that heart that bled for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that is the heart in where the sun of the ma'rifat of Allah rises. When the horizon gets red early in the morning, that's a sign that this red horizon is giving the message that soon the sun is going to rise. And then the sun rises and lights up the whole world. So likewise, as you give the example, that when this heart, the haram desires will be slaughtered repeatedly by not giving in to them. And the blood of those haram desires will redden the heart. Then this is now a sign that the sun of the ma'rifat of Allah will rise in this heart. And this heart will recognize its Rabb. So now that is the real purpose of life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ This is the real purpose of life. That we recognize who Allah is. And we give ourselves to Allah. So that is what all these efforts are. Of tazkiyah. This is all about cleansing ourselves, purifying ourselves, working on this heart, removing all the base qualities, all the things that keep us far away from Allah Ta'ala, and instilling into this heart all the noble things, the love of Allah Ta'ala, the zeal to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, and all the qualities that will take a person closer to Allah Ta'ala, the tawazu and humility, the khashiyat, and that total humility and submission and humbling oneself in front of Allah Ta'ala. And all the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, when this effort is made and this is brought in, then the whole vision of life changes. The whole direction changes. The first time, previously, the direction was heading over the cliff, but just that the person wasn't wanting to, either in denial, unable to see it. But now he comes to his realization, where was I heading? And life is ticking away. Now he's ready to make sacrifices for Allah Ta'ala. Before you're sacrificing his deen for his pleasures. But what he got in return? Just misery. That fleeting pleasure for a few moments and then misery. What else he got? Few moments of fleeting pleasure and sometimes lifelong misery. And here it's non-stop that happiness and peace. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That itminan of the heart Allah blesses him with. Despite all the challenges of life, his heart is with Allah Ta'ala. So now that requires that effort. Now when that becomes his condition, now he's fine, he's happy with whatever Allah's decree is, however Allah has kept him, he's happy with that. Because this is a very short journey of the process that he's on. He's moving ahead. He's on this journey to Akhirat. And soon he will reach home. When he reaches home, And مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرْ Which in one hadith, Allah Ta'ala says, hadith Qudsi, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala says, what? That home, which is real home, that for my pious servants, those who have lived their lives with that healthy ruh, and for them is what no eye has ever seen, such bounties and ni'mats, and what no ear has ever heard of, and what no heart can ever imagine. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala make our ruh very, very healthy. Save us from all the things that cause this harm to the ruh. And cure these illnesses, the spiritual maladies that lurk in our hearts. And make us among the true servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll make zikr for a few minutes and then make dua inshallah.
Beside Durud Sharif. La ilaha illallah Muhammad. رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا محصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهل. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. إله العالمين يا الله, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make us among your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us among your loyal servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the vices and sins, Ya Allah. Save us from all the fitna and fasad, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the distractions, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, engage us in your remembrance at all times, Ya Allah. Engage us in your dhikr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our ruh fully, Ya Allah, infused with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the love of all the haram, Ya Allah. Remove the, Ya Allah, the craving for all the sins, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, put the zeal of akhirat in our hearts, Ya Allah. Put the zeal of getting close to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put the enthusiasm for salah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put the pleasure of tilawat in our lives, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give us the ecstasy and sweetness of dhikr, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the, Ya Allah, sweetness of ibadat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make us disgust sin like we disgust filth, Ya Allah. Put the hatred of sin in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, atila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, give us, Ya Allah, shifa from all our physical ailments, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us complete shifa from all our spiritual ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us a tawfiq of, Ya Allah, appreciating every moment of life, Ya Allah. Enable us to spend every moment of life correctly, Ya Allah, in a way that will bring us closer to you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those in any kind of difficulty and hardship, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast on iman till our last breath, Ya Allah. Take us on perfect iman, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with the beautiful and noble akhlaq of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with his, Ya Allah, one fraction of his zeal of ibadat, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with all his beautiful muamalat and muasharat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with the tawfiq of, Ya Allah, living the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands with us dua, Allah, you fulfill each one's jais needs, pious aspirations, remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah, grant each one, Ya Allah, barakat in the rizq, Ya Allah, grant each one all the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, even if we are so far away, Ya Allah, that our hearts are not even yet desiring to become yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, still make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, still make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, still make us yours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put that talab in our hearts, Ya Allah. Put that talab in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put that realization, Ya Allah, that nothing of dunya is going to be of any avail to us in the qabr, Ya Allah. Nothing of dunya is going to come along in the akhirat, Ya Allah. It is only our iman and amal, Ya Allah. Bless us with the strength of iman, Ya Allah. Bless us with all the imani sifat, Ya Allah. Bless us with the amal-e-saliha, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the haram, Ya Allah. Grant us taqwa, Ya Allah. Grant us taqwa, Ya Allah. Grant us taqwa, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. And all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. But we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب